And the end of the last week, we were talking about the connection to the two other aspects of the Mishnah, and I think the first perspective that we mentioned last week was the idea that basically there might very well be a hierarchy in mitzvos. However, have a zoyer the mitzvah kala kibachamura she'en atadeh matan scharn shel mitzvos should be understood in a different way. Because even if we were to know very clearly what the hierarchy of mitzvos are, and even if we were to know and be able to pinpoint on a certain level what schar you receive for different types of mitzvos, nonetheless, we're being told that you should be zar bekalab kibachamura, because on another level, ena teodea matan schar in mitzvos. I suggested that this should be understood in light of the comment of Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rabbeinu Yonah is not here. We'll speak about Rabbeinu Yonah here in a minute. The Rabbeinu Yonah is in Parak Aleph of Avos, Mishnah Aleph, where we're told, I'm sorry, Mishnah Beis, right, that Shimon HaTzadik Ayu Mishari Knesset Gdola, Hoy Omra Al Gimel Dvarim Olam Omeid. No, it's Mishnah Aleph, sorry. Hey Mamre Shlosha Dvarim, referring to the Anche Knesset Gdola, Heve Mesunim Bedin, Hamidu Tamidim Harbe, Vasu Siag LaTorah. So in Asu Siag LaTorah, so that's where Rabbeinu Yonah has his very, I think, very inspiring comment, where he says, talks about the basis of siag, shmarta mis mishmarti, asu mishmeris la mishmarti, which in light of our discussions of the Ramban in Chulin, I think takes on new significance, the idea of shmira, reflecting the preciousness of what it is that is being guarded, so that you build a fortress, so you don't even reach the point of safek. And then he says, hasiag udavar gadol, umeshubach laso siag begedel mitzvah lebal yuchali kashel bahem, hayareis devar Hashem. Lachena mekayim is divrei Chazal sheim siyogim lemitzvah shel Torah chivev hayira nimi sheosa hamitzvah atzma kein asiyas hamitzvah hochacha lehira kamo ashomer lesiyogim shehu nizhar mitchila shel ayov ledei pshia. Okay, so basically the Rabbeinu Yonah is saying to do the mitzvah, that's understandable, it's intrinsically valuable, there's a payoff. That doesn't reflect any great level of Yerushalayim. But for a person to be makbid on siag latorah, on the drabanans, that shows that he's faithful to the system, and he's not just picking and choosing and trying to increase his schar, enhance his record in olam hazeh. So basically, the litmus test of Yerushalayim, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is siagim. And of course, that's the same idea of kalos, ekev, the mitzvahs adam dashbo ba'kevo, the things that people are normally very frivolous about, or that they trivialize. These are the real test cases of Yirat Shamayim, and that's I think an approach. Even though Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't say that here, I think that's the way to understand the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says "Habezar b'mitzvah kala k'bechamur shenat teyadeh matan scharn shel mitzvos," what it means is that every time you do something, there are really two levels of schar. There's the intrinsic mitzvah and the particular schar that is technically and formally attached to it. And then, in addition to that, there is this broader question of your status as an Oved Hashem, and whether you're a Yare, Shemayim. And that's always being tested as well. So ironically, the one where, in terms of actual schar are on the lower level, nonetheless end up being the more significant tests. And in that sense, Eina Tayodea, Matan Schar and Shomitzos, that's part of the, this would work at it nicely, this is what I was saying it for in the end, with the idea that this whole Mishnah isn't technical, it's not about, b'chukosai teleichu. It's about is a derech sheyavar lo adam. It's about an approach to Torah and to mitzvos and to avodas Hashem that transcends both specific mitzvos, because it's a derech, and even the schar of mitzvos that transcends the schar of particular mitzvos. Namely, it is about the broader notion of avodas Hashem. So I think that's one way to read the Mishnah in light of Rabbeinu Yonah. However, the language of the Mishnah raises another issue, and that is indeed whether or not there really is a hierarchy in mitzvos, and if so, is it something that we can penetrate? So there are those who have made the case that if all mitzvos have their root in Matan Torah and in Dvar Hashem, so maybe there really isn't any hierarchy in mitzvos at all. And maybe that's what the Mishnah is really telling us. Not that you don't know, but you can't know because there is no additional value of one mitzvah beyond that of another. This is an issue that comes up in a number of different contexts. A couple of years ago, when we learned Sanhedrin, about 4 years ago now, I think, so in Ashkafa we did the Yud Gimel Ikarim. So as an introduction to the Yud Gimel Ikarim at the time, I discussed the history of Yud Gimel Ikarim. You know, the Rambam, of course, has the most authoritative and the most famous of the Ikarim, the Yud Gimel Ikarim. And just the very enterprise of trying to fashion a Yud Gimel Ikarim was controversial in rabbinic circles and in halachic circles. There were those Mefarshim who thought that, you know, Rambam was wrong about the specific 13. Either he counted too many, or he didn't count enough. He should have, he should have counted them in a different way, under a different rubric. There are all sorts of technical critiques of Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarim, Rabbi Yosef Albo, and Chasdei Kreskes, and all sorts of different suggestions were made. But there were those who criticized the very enterprise itself, namely to establish Yud Gimel Ikarim is to suggest that some principles or some mitzvos are more important than others. At Barbanel, others suggested that that's unacceptable. Every one of the Taryag mitzvos is an Ikar. To imply otherwise is to run the risk of violating one of the Rambam's own Yud Gimel Ikarim, you know, about Taryag mitzvos being immutable, and Moshe Rabbeinu's, you know, nevuah being unique and singular, so it can never be replaced. What do you mean when you say that, you know, that there's a hierarchy? And I think at the time we tried to illustrate this by another famous argument, discussion of the Gemara in Brachos in the first parak, about whether or not you say Aseres HaDibros every day or not. And the Gemara says that originally we used to say Aseres HaDibros after Kriya Shema, or in conjunction with Kriya Shema, and then they stopped the practice because of Taromes Haminim. And there are different explanations what that means. What do we mean by Taromes Haminim? But the general consensus is, with all the differences, that people would be saying, or people might think, that only the Aseres HaDibros are min HaShemayim. Or, that's one view, that the Aseres HaDibros are of greater spiritual significance than the rest of Torah. Again, there are different formulations, and they're very, very important. The ones that say, well, people might think that there is a hierarchy and that the Aseres HaDibros are more important than the other mitzvos, and that's why we're mevatel mishum taromes haminim. We're basically saying the Aseres HaDibros, I think, you know, we would all agree, have a certain special stature, the Pia Gvura, and so on. Not only that, but there are many mefarshim who think the Taryag mitzvos are included in the Aseres HaDibros, so that they become, in a way, the framework for understanding Taryag mitzvos. And as we said many times, when you have a summary, it's not just a summary when it has halachic significance, right? You have to always ask yourself, what do you need the summary for? Either the summary includes and incorporates effectively everything, in which case you should be able to suffice with the summary, or the opposite. If you already need to elaborate the Taryag, so what's the point of the summary? It's just a mnemonic device, a device of efficiency. It seems like Aseret Sadibros is more than that. So everybody will agree that it seems like the category of Aseret Sadibros is important. And yet, Bishum Tarabas Aminim, less people say, again, so if it's less people say only that is Mipi Agvura, only that is Torah, we understand that argument. But if the argument is more that that is somehow more important, more significant than other parts of Torah, I mean, what's wrong with saying that? Right. We stand up for the Aseret Sadibros, even if we sit down for Kriyas HaTorah generally. So at the time we brought the Tshuva of the Rambam, Rambam was exactly asked this question about a certain shul in Baghdad, where the minhag was, you know, changing depending on who the rav was, whether they stood up or sat down during Aseret Sadibros. And the shoel to the Rambam wanted him to, you know, to confirm the minhag, which was to stand up during the Aseret Sadibros. And the Rambam was very, very harsh in his criticism of that minhag, which is pretty much minhag Kol Yisrael, as far as I know. And the Rambam said, because, quoting the Gemara in Brachos, they were mevatel the kriya of, or the reading of, Aseret Sadibros from Pnei Taromas Aminim, because people shouldn't think that there's greater value to the Aseret Sadibros than there is to any other part of the Torah. Rambam uses the example of, you know, even names in the Torah, even apparently secular names that appear in the Torah, or Targumim, you know, Yagar Sadusa, those, even that is the equivalence of Aseret Sadibros. Therefore, the Rambam said, even though this might be your minhag, it's a bad minhag, people shouldn't follow minhagim that undermine the principles of the Torah, and if you sit during Kriyas HaTorah, you should sit during the Aseret Sadibros as well. Very fascinating tshuva of the Rambam. I think I mentioned at the time also, the Rav used to note that, you know, but the minhag Klal Yisrael is not like the Rambam. So he used to add and just say that the reason that we stand up during the Aseret Sadibros is because we read them B'tam Elyon, not B'tam Tachton, and therefore we read them as Dibros and not as Psukim. And basically what we're doing is reenacting, you know, Maimon Har Sinai. So we don't stand up because the Chafza of Aseret Sadibros is more important than the rest. We stand up because this is basically the re-dramatization of Maimon Har Sinai. Then it would actually depend whether or not it's Tam Elyon or Tam Tachton. We don't always read Tam Elyon. That's a discussion in its own right. And then Farshim Ala Torah, and of course in the Halacha, when do we read B'tam Elyon, when B'tam Tachton, when you just encounter the Parshios of Yisron V'Eschanan, or what about Shavuos, and so on and so forth. Again, I don't want to get back into that. But my point is that the Rambam was making the point of the Gemara and expanding upon it, that, you know, lest one Chas V'Shalom think that, you know, Aseret Sadibros is more Chafza Shel Torah than anything else. But at the time I was trying to make the point that isn't this ironic that there are people out there who are Rishonim, who, you know, are very critical of the Rambam for counting Yud Gimel Ikarim, and they're basically accusing him of establishing a hierarchy in Torah, when he is the one, maybe more extreme than anyone else, who formulated this idea about the Aseret Sadibros, that there's no, you know, there's no higher and lower, no more and less when it comes to Chafza Shel Torah. All Chafza Shel Torah is equal. I think this is a big issue. But I think the answer is obvious. It just needs to be said. And that is that the Rambam was talking about two different issues and ideas. One issue is the question of Chafza Shel Torah, which has to do with Kriyas HaTorah and Talmud Torah. And as far as that is concerned, I think the Rambam was saying two things. Number one, at minimum he was saying that every Chafza Shel Torah, every part of Chafza Shel Torah, which has the, you know, the imprimatur of Devar Hashem, is of great spiritual stature, enormous spiritual stature. And to sit down for one part and to stand up for another part is to imply that, you know, somehow there are more trivial or technical parts of Chafza Shel Torah which don't deserve the same kind of respect. Maybe the minimum respect that is required for any part of Chafza Shel Torah is the level of respect that you would project for the highest part. At minimum, that's what the Rambam is saying. Moreover, I think he's saying more, and that is, when it comes to Chafza Shel Torah and Talmud Torah, as Dvar Hashem, there really is no difference. It's not less Dvar Hashem when you say Yigar Sadusa than it is when you say Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But having said that, that doesn't mean that there aren't different functions for different parts of Torah. Right? I mean, we do read the Kriyas in different times and for different purposes. But it's not only, you know, the Ma'ora of the Yom, but obviously there are differences in purpose and function. And as far as that is concerned, the Rambam didn't address this problem in that context, but it seems obvious that there is no stira between the Rambam's comment and his tshuva and his having set out a system of Yud Gimel Ikarim. The Rambam believed that while all Chefsa Shel Torah is of, you know, vital importance and of, you know, extremely significant stature, nonetheless, there are Yud Gimel Ikarei Amuna. There are things that every Jew has to believe, and especially according to the Rambam. It's not just that you can't deny them, but you really have to have positive commitment to these ideas. That's his view of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, without which a person's commitment just is meaningless, is insignificant. And they are the Yud Gimel Ikarim that he outlines. That doesn't mean that they're more important as Chefta Shel Torah, or that they're more important. It just means that they are more indispensable to a minimum level of commitment. Those are two completely different issues. Standing up or sitting down is an act of reverence that reflects the axiological value of the Chefetz Shel Torah in question as Dvar Hashem. And Rambam was saying any Dvar Hashem deserves maximal respect, and all Dvar Hashem is equal in its intrinsic value and status. But that doesn't mean that there aren't different functions and different purposes for different parts of Torah. And it's perfectly honest. Just like Devarim could be Mishnah Torah and the other four are not Mishnah Torah, that doesn't mean that Devarim is less, according to most understandings. It just means it might be different. And that difference is sometimes reflected. So there's an issue that comes up in this Mishnah as well. Because the Mishnah says that are we being told that there really is no difference in value? Or are we being told that we don't know the difference in value? And if there are differences in value, how does that fit with this idea that all Dvar Hashem is equal? So that's what I'm suggesting is there's no stira whatsoever. As Chefsa Shel Torah, for Limud HaTorah, for Kavod HaTorah, obviously, these are all equal. Every mitzvah and every aveira is equally important. But that doesn't mean that the function, that what they accomplish, isn't different. And that's what makes for a more complicated posture when it comes to this particular mitzvah, when it comes to this particular issue. In Sefer Mitzvot Rav Sajigon, in Chela Gimel, I wrote down the number here, just a second. In Chela Gimel, I have it here actually. Chela Gimel Onesh Mem and Mem Aleph, he discusses one very important aspect of this issue, and he quotes the Rambam in our Mishnah as part of his discussion. He notes that it was the view of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid in Sefer Chassidim that you cannot gauge the axiology of a mitzvah or an aveira based on the schar and the onesh. How do we know this? So he quotes the shita. Sefer Chassidim says this in a number of places. Zeh shelo kedas Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid shekasa avdalecha ki lo lefi chomer apuronios tucha leida mitzvos onshon uscharon sheharei chilul Shabbos beskila umixas mitzvos arayas bechenek ubekares. Shabbos has a more chomer onesh than arayos in most cases. And however, the halacha is that avu bishem mechal Shabbos bavur pikuach nefesh muter. Ben yachal asos kein beisarayas uberitzicha she'enam beskila. Kach al tomar shezu yekara v'chaviva mizu ad kan l'shono ayin shah. Ken kasav ode kaman another simin tafresh membav. There he talks about the mitzvah of Sota. He says, "Ein laharich erech hamitzvos al pi onesh over aleihem," and the raya that he brings is from the fact that shvuas sheker and mechikas hashem are only balav, avon eishas ish is bechenek, and yet Afal b'kein k'shanivala b'aveira shalesh asish kama b'ilas l'nafli yirecha l'otsavsa bitna u'kshishbiya koin v'shasa mayim amarim nafli yirecha v'tsavsa bitna. That's the argument of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. So Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is not suggesting what I mentioned before, which could be a reading of the Mishnah, which is that there is no hierarchy in mitzvos. There may be skar, there may be onesh, but skar va'onesh doesn't reflect a hierarchy because there is none. That's one way to read the Mishnah. Everything is Dvar Hashem, everything is equal. I skar va'onesh, that's a different consideration. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is not going that far, but what he is saying is there may be a hierarchy, there may be mitzvos that are more significant than others. However, you certainly cannot gauge it based on onshin and schar. Onish and schar are a different category entirely. The haraya, pikuach nefesh of Shabbos versus yaharik v'yavar of gili harayos, even though the onish of Shabbos is chamur, the haraya, the question of sota. Yeah.
But his proofs are punishments, meaning his proof that the formal punishments aren't the gauge, in fact, they're other punishments
of
chlal, I mean,
okay, so something, right, that seems to be a punishment proof. That's bechlal a weak proof anyway, for several reasons. Number one is Yochanan Fischer Perlo goes on to explain. He says, well, that's just, you know, pirsum Hashem, that's just a nace, because we don't know what happened here, and this is all very mysterious. It's, you know, it's a he said, she said, you know, kind of a thing. We don't have edim. Right, so the test with the me'amarim and the whole process of the shvua and the mechikas haksav and so on, this is all a nes in order to show what, you know, it's a nes min hashamayim to be megala what really happened. So it's about pirsum ha'emes. It's not really even only, obviously it's in the form of an onesh, but it's a pirsum. That's number one. Number two, of course, is that we don't isolate the shvua sheker and the mechikas Hashem. This is all part of the same process of the gilui arayos. So if you're to isolate it and say, well, how come this gets a more severe response than that, when that is more, has a greater onesh than shvua sheker, that would be fine, but it's just not fair. Because it's not shvua sheker out of context and arayos out of context. It's shvua sheker in a safek arayos that proves that she was mezana. So either way, it doesn't seem like the second proof is a very good proof. But pikuach nefesh is an interesting question. In other words, pikuach nefesh isn't about onesh. What we're saying is there are reasons that you set aside Shabbos. There are no reasons where you set aside rotzeach and gili arayos. And what does that prove? Even though the onesh of Shabbos is more chamor than the onesh of Gilei Arayos and Rotzeach, for that matter. So if this would seem to prove that if you assume that Bikuach Nefesh and overriding Bikuach Nefesh is an issue of chomer alone, right? So then it's impossible to say that the severity of the onesh is the single gauge of chomer. That would seem to be the raya of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Yeah.
Well, we can limit that within Misa. Say, you know, it's any time it's a, if Misa, then maybe it can fluctuate. It's going to pair a lot.
Okay, so I think there are several things that you could say. Number one, what Elichai is saying, but I think you have to explain why. I mean, why he's saying that maybe Misa, within Misa, or the level of Misa, you're going to get killed anyway. So it's a question of what level. Maybe there, the Chomer ha-Misa, ha-Onesh, is not significant. But if it's a question of Malkus, or Misa, or a Korban, or etc., then maybe that really is about chomer. Now, why should that be so? I mean, you still have to explain. So why? I mean, we do say that there's a chomra v'kula in onshin. Now, that's explicit in the Mishnah and the Gemaras in Sanhedrin. The answer, I think, you would say is that the onesh and the severity of the onesh, but maybe even more important, the particular character of the onesh, is there to convey some other truth. Now, those are different types of averos. Of course, this is going to end up being very close to what we're going to say in general anyway, but even if you want to say this in a narrower way, there are averos which are, you know, ma'isa averos per se. There are others that undermine faith in the larger community. There are more theologically mered, type averos as opposed to, yetzer hara type of averos, meaning it could be that the onshim especially within Misa, really reflect not so much Chomer and Kal, but different types of Maisa Averos. This is connected closely to an issue, again, a couple of years ago in Sanhedrin, we discussed it a little bit, and that is, you know, whether you really view, for example, the issue of Binyan HaMitzvos and other things, whether you really view, for example, the different Misos as different categories, or you see, you know, Misa is kind of a generic idea, and then from there, within this Misa, then it includes all Misos, and then within that, there is Hereg and Chenek and Sila, and, you know, and so on. Or do you really see, you know, Hereg and Chenek and Skila as different Mechaivim? You know, they're all Misas, but that's, you know, that's maybe not as important, or at least equally important is the division. Because if you see this as more flexible, what will happen, for example, when, you know, you can't implement the, you know, the more Chomer one and you implement the Kal one, how much have you really lost in the Onesh and other such issues that come up in those Gemaras in Sanhedrin. So I think that there is merit to what you're saying, but you just have to add these ideas that there's some alternative system at work here, because you're not going to say there's a system generally, but there's dafka, not a system here. But maybe when it comes to the bigger divisions, Lavin, Malkus, Essen, Misos, etc., Misa B'dei Shamayim, Kares, when it comes to that, there really is a hierarchy in addition to the nuances of different types of averos or different categories, which make more appropriate one type rather than the other. I think that's one answer. I think there are other answers as well. Later on, Rabbi Ruchem Fischer Perlow himself labors hard to explain that he thinks pikuach nefesh is an exception. He doesn't explain why so much. He says you can't prove from pikuach nefesh. Other things. Even if you can through onesh, but pikuach nefesh is different. I think pikuach nefesh may be different for other reasons. Number one, pikuach nefesh is different if you hold hutra. That if it's if the issue of pikuach nefesh is a dechuya issue, so then you're talking about the relative value of, you know, pikuach nefesh versus violating the avera. Then I think one could make the argument that, well, you know, if we even violate, if we even, you know, refuse to violate in the face of pikuach nefesh, then obviously there's greater urgency, there's a greater or higher stature of Isur involved. However, if we're talking about hutra, not dechuya, this one could make the argument, you know, it's more like of a kai gavna lo. It's not that there's a clash, but basically there is no iser. Of course, you still have to explain why hutra doesn't apply across the board, why there are certain averos which, you know, don't allow for this hutra, and there are others, most of them, that do. But that again could have to do with the particular nature of the avera in question, its character, its nature, and so on. I think that's another avenue to pursue. More likely, in the other direction, is to pursue why there is no pikuach nefesh for gilui arayos, or gilui arayos, shvichus damim, and avodah zarah in particular. And that, of course, is a big topic, but if you take the view that the reason for yehari bal yabor is not so much chumras so aveira, which is the view of many Rishonim, the view of the Ramban and Mechamos and from David Bonfield and many others, but really the reason is because of Kiddush and Chilul Hashem. Namely, in terms of the Chomer, Ha'isur, Aveira, you would say Pikoch Nefesh, Doche. The only thing is, the generated Chilul Kiddush Hashem in these cases, impact on others, is such that overrides Pikoch Nefesh. So then, it's basically not the Aveira itself at all. In other words, when you say Gilui Arayos, right, Yehari Gval Yavor, Shabbos, no Yehari Gval Yavor. So basically what you're really saying is, not that Shabbos is less chamor than Gilui Arayos, but that Shabbos doesn't generate in its violation for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh, Chilul Hashem, to the same degree that Gilui Arayos does. That has nothing to do with the, necessarily, I mean, not completely unrelated, but at least it doesn't necessarily have to do with the chomer, only with the chomer, ha'iser, ha'aveira. In the case of Shabbos, of course, is another factor. And that is the issue of chalel Shabbos achas kadesha tishmar Shabbosos harbe. That's also something that may not apply to Gilei Arayos and to Rotzeach and to Avodah Zarah. It isn't just the heter of v'chai bohem of pikuach nefesh, but it has to do with what we're saying is internally in the chumrah of Shabbos itself. It's better to make the temporary concession for the long-term benefit. So it isn't Shabbos versus pikuach nefesh. It's, you know, long-term Shabbos versus short-term Shabbos. And you don't really have that consideration when it comes to Iser Avodah Zarah, Iser Gilei Arayos. You have the consideration of living a life of Kedusha as a Ben Torah, but in terms of the specific Avera, the internal dynamic is just missing. So I think, again, Rav Ruchel Fischer Perl doesn't say any of these things. He just says, obviously, Pekuach Nefesh is not a gauge. But I think any of these two or three approaches would solve the biggest problem raised by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Okay. Having said that, though, just to be fair about it, in the end of the piece, Rabbi Yochanan Fischer Perlo says, "V'divrei Ri HaChassid nifloim be'inai, v'divrei Rabbeinu HaGaon, referring to Rav Sanji Gaon, v'harambam, brurim al katzem in a second of pshutim, d'lavit kodesh baruch hu, dina b'lo daina, v'yisharim darkei Hashem." So that, I think, is a little unfair. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid was saying, not that there is no hierarchy, and certainly not, he's never impugning whether or not Yesharim Darkei Hashem, or saying that Lavid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dina B'lo Daina. He wasn't saying that the Onshim were arbitrary, and he wasn't saying that that it's just chaos. You know, Rabbeinu Shalom just, you know, chose an Onesh. What he was saying was that the onshim are not the gauge of the chashivos, of the erech, of the intrinsic value of a mitzvah. There may be other factors that explain the onshim. They're certainly not arbitrary. For example, onshim can be explained in terms of kapara. That's how, you know, some of Farshim explain, as we know, ein onshim min adin, things of that sort. You know, sometimes when you have a kal v'chomers, so many gemaras do use onshim hachamurim for kal v'chomers. But here and there, you have the response. You know, one man's chumer is another man's kula. In that, you know, the chomer haonesh brings with it a greater kapara, and that kapara is a kula. Again, that's how some people explain ein onshim min adin. Not that the svara cannot be relied upon, but that precisely because of the kal v'chomer, you know, you might actually conclude the opposite. You might conclude that that you should be more mekel, not to give the person the opportunity to extricate himself through the kapara. Again, when the in 16th century, when they wanted to bring back malchus, you know, by reinstituting smicha, so the argument was, this is really something we should do, because, you know, that way we can give everybody malchus, you know. So then the Shakla Vitaria, so, you know, well, what's so great about giving everybody malchus? Kapara. So if you look at it that way, so you could say that the Chomer HaOnesh is sometimes a Kula, not a Chumra. I'm not saying that that's what the Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid had in mind, but I think he had in mind that there are other factors that go into onshim. There could be the factor of deterrence, for example. Again, he doesn't say any of it. I'm saying it for him. Right? Deterrence. That you want to deter somebody so that you raise the level of onesh. That doesn't prove that there's something more intrinsically abhorrent about the action. It just means that, you know, you have an effective mechanism that you can use to discourage people. So that's a whole different concept. Moreover, what I said before, in conjunction, we'll say, with Elichai, which is Elichai was suggesting a distinction within misos, and I was trying to explain, yeah, because maybe the onesh of different misos really, you know, correspond to different types of averos. Impact on others, mered, again, a personal failing of Yetzer Hara, a theological flaw in one's emuna, right? And maybe symbolically, these are reflected by different types of onshim. That could very well be. also across spectrum. You know, when you get malchus, malchus b'moko miso medes, when you get mini misa, when you get real misa, you know, there could be a terrible chomer iser, but we could feel that people are not incorrigible. That's another factor when it comes to a particular avera. We feel that what they did was abhorrent, maybe the most abhorrent thing ever, but just because something is abhorrent doesn't mean that it is incorrigible. Right? So you might not want to kill somebody. You might want to, you know, give them malchus b'makom miso medes, and let them live to do tshuva on another day. Whereas other things are just, you just can't come back from that. I'm saying there could be a whole slew of other factors that explain chomer onshim, even if they really are chomer always. I mean, most of the Gemaras do consider them to be chomer, which have nothing to do with the intrinsic value of the issue involved. So I think the Rabbi Yudah Chassid's idea, I think the Raya of Rabbi Yudah Chassid from Sota and from Pikuach Nefesh and Yehari Gval Yavar is extremely vulnerable. But I think the basic idea of Rabbi Yudah Chassid, which is that you just can't know from Onshim alone, Kal and Chomer, there are other factors that might explain Onshim, and Kal and Chomer could be understood in a different way. I think that is a very attractive, frankly, I think it's a very attractive idea. I think it's especially attractive if we take it along the lines of what I was saying earlier about the Rambam, just, you know, using the contrast between his tshuva and Aseres HaDibros and his controversial formulation of Yud Gimel Ikarin, which is that, like most things in life and in halacha, not everything is about Chomer and Kal. And this I mean in a slightly different way than I've just, till now I've just been saying, well, the onshim are not, without rhyme or reason, they're not arbitrary, but they could reflect all sorts of considerations, some of which I just mentioned. But what I'm saying now is something a little bit different, and that is, even if they do respect Chomer, even if they do reflect Chomer and Kal, isn't it conceivable that our assessment of Chomer and Kal may differ depending on what our focus is? Something can be chomor in one respect and kal in another respect, especially when you're comparing and contrasting, you know, two things to each other. Even the categories that I just mentioned, something could be more chomor as a mered, and more kal as an intrinsic aveira. Right? There may be more chil Hashem, for example, in one thing. Right, and more intrinsic, you know, avera in something else. So who's to say that it's more chomor or more kal? The answer is, with regard to X and Y, this kind of issue, it's more chomor. And with regard to A and B, it could be more kal. When it comes to Yud Gimli Karim, Shabbos isn't on the list. Right? But the Rambam's comments in Perek Lamed, the end of Perek Lamed, Hilchos Shabbos, the very end of Hilchos Shabbos, where he says, there's nothing like Shabbos, it's exactly parallel to Avodah Zarah, right? And he quotes the Mamari Chazal. So in one respect, Rambam's telling us that Shabbos and Avodah Zarah are the same. And we'll get to the Gemara, right? A Mumar L'Chalas HaShabbos is a Mumar L'Kol HaTorah Kula. Rashi explains Chul Daf Hei. He's Makhish B'Maisa Bereishis. So that's a very crucial issue. But the fact is that believing in you know, Kriyatio ex nihilo is not one of the Yud Gimel Ikari Amuna. Right? One should believe it. It's important to believe it, but it's not one of the Yud Gimel Ikari Amuna. I mean, the Rambam's perspective on Olam Haba and Tchias HaMesim, I think, really highlight this. I mean, the Rambam was accused of neglecting or denying even. Some people accuse the Rambam of denying Tchias HaMesim Chas V'Shalom. And the Rambam says clearly that that's not true. Why did people accuse him of that? I mean, there's no basis at all for the accusation. It was just, you know, blood libel. The answer is, people read the Rambam, and they noted that, you know, when it came to discussions of Olam Haba, he would, you know, there wasn't enough ink in the pen. You know, now the Rambam talks about Olam Haba many places, and how important it is, and, you know, how significant it is. It's the world, you know, of the spirit, of the intellect, you know, without being encumbered by the physical body. in Hilchos Malachim and Hilchos Tshuva, all over the place. I mean, Hakdama to Techelek. The Rambam doesn't spare ink and time when it comes to his discussions of Olam Haba. When it comes to Tchias HaMeisim, he barely mentions it. And people noted that. So they said, well, what's going on? Obviously, the Rambam is playing down Tchias HaMeisim. He is pushing Olam Haba. Tchias HaMeisim is a corporeal resurrection. Right? Olam Haba is a world of, you know, being Nena Miziv Ashchina. It's a purely spiritual, intellectual world where you're communing with the Ribbono Shel'olam, Kivyocha, whatever that means. Right? The Rambam was definitely more eloquent about one than he was about the other. So people accused him of denying Tchias HaMeisim. But the Rambam clearly didn't at all. The Rambam says it's critical, it's crucial to believe in Tchias HaMeisim. In some respects, it's more critical to believe in Tchias HaMeisim than it is in Olam Haba, even though the role that Olam Haba plays in the scheme of things for the Rambam is clearly more central than the role of Tchias HaMeisim. Because we're talking about two totally different concepts. And if you were to apply the simple barometer of more valuable, less valuable, more significant, less significant to that, we would just be completely misled. In the worldview of the Rambam, Olam Haba is a crucial linchpin. Because intellectual perfection, spiritual intellectual attainment is a major goal in the Rambam's in the Rambam's Weltanschauung. However, you know, belief in Tchias HaMeisim is indispensable for a Jew. He has to believe in Tchias HaMeisim. It's an important, it's a crucial belief. We're talking about two different ideas, just like the stature of the Aseres HaDibros and the Yud Gimel Ikarim are two different categories. So if that's the case, it's reasonable to suggest that when we talk about Chomer and Kal in the hierarchy of Mitzvos and Averos, that it's not all more or less. As it happens, the Rambam himself, in Perashat Mishnayos here in Avos, happens to take a very quantitative hierarchical view when it comes to Mitzvos and Lavin, and he does connect it to Onshin. And Abrucham Pershul Perlo is quite correct in saying that both from Sajigon, in the Ma'amar HaChamishi, Ube'ezet Sad Neida She'enam Chamuros, Shelo Higdilu Onsham Ba'olam Azeh. Aval HaMezid, Hu Over Al HaChamuros, Hem She'esh Ben Kares, Arba Mises Bezdin, Ube'zeh Neida Ki Hem Chamuros. That's from Sajigon that he quotes. And the Rambam that he quotes is the Rambam of our Mishnah here in Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. We're going to stop in a minute. Well, I guess we'll finish with this next week. The Rambam here does say that when you read the Mishnah carefully, you should read it and be medayik that the Mishnah says, "Hevezayir b'mitzvah kala kibuchamura she'ena teyodei matan scharn shel mitzvos." So the Rambam is medayik. That's mitzvos as opposed to isurim. Rambam says, when it comes to Isurim, we do have a hierarchy, and we know it. When it comes to mitzvos, so here the Rambam could have said, I would have liked if he had said, there is no hierarchy, but he doesn't say that. He says there's a hierarchy, but it has been intentionally camouflaged. Which is very intriguing. Why would the Torah intentionally camouflage anything? Right, only for a purpose, obviously. So that's the Rambam's formulation here. The Rambam says, "Achakach chomer shetzorich lizor v'mitzvah sheichashir bot sheikala." What are the kalos? It's also interesting. Kesimchas haregel ulemidas lashon hakodesh kemitzvah. First of all, that the Rambam ever thought that lemidas lashon hakodesh was a mitzvah is a bit of a chiddush. The Ravid has such an idea again in Brachos, when the Gemara has a discussion, you know, whether or not Kol Torah Kula B'Lashon HaKodesh Nitna or not. So there's a big argument. What's that whole discussion about? So in the Shita Mekubetzes quotes the in the name of the Ravid that it has to do with learning B'Ivrit. Okay, Ravid is Shiyuv. Anyways, Vagisa Bayom Balaila, but the yotze of the mitzvah, but teaching and learning in Ivrit is supports Rav Lichtenstein's, you know, long-standing view about how the shir should be given in Grus. But even though he unfortunately had to compromise in the last couple of years, but I don't know if it was based on the Ravid or based on other things. But that's the Ravid's view of Kol Torah Kula B'Lashon HaKodesh. Anyways, the Rambam here says mitzvahs kalos are simchas haregel, lemidas lashon hakodesh. I'm going to stop in 1 minute. Kemitzah she is bar lecha chumrasa, shehi gedola kemila tzitzis shchitas haPesach. It's fascinating that he puts tzitzis together with and in between mila and korban Pesach. Mila and korban Pesach, we understand because there are say sheish bakares. What's tzitzis doing there? I think because shkula keneged takes very seriously the Chazal, you know, that the shkula keneged taryag mitzvos, even though it's not reflected in this case in the onesh. And there are a lot of little points here to pick up for the Rambam. Then he says the sum sibazesh enot yodeh matan scharn shal mitzvos. Beers are in a kasher omer v'husha Torah kula mimane mitzvah sasei u'mimane mitzvah lo sasei. V'amnam mitzvah lo sasei bira kosev ha'onesh ha'kol ha'kas v'yachas milvad ha'ma'at mehen. Almost everyone is defined. V'chayv al k'tosam ha'mitzvah sa k'tosam ha'kares misa b'dei shemayim malkis v'yadana mi'anshe mitzvah lo sasei kula mahim isuram gadol ha'mayim l'mata v'hem shmona madregos. Madrega Rishona here Gedola, Hadvarm Shechem Skila, Madrega Shalamata Srefa, then comes Herig, then comes Kenik, then comes Kares, then comes Misa Bidei Shemayim, then Malkis, then Lavin Shein Lokin Aleim, Lom Ela Madrega's Nega Chomar Ha'avon Vikaluso. Al Mitzase Lois Baris Chal Kalakas Mehem Mahi Eitzal Shem Yisbarach. Because that Kadesha Loneda Eza Mitzah Tzarech Ma'od Lashamar Veza Lamata Hemenu. But Tzivalasas Inim Ploni Ploni Velodia Schar Ezef Mishneim Yoser Gadol Etz Hashem Yisbarach. He also says, again, we'll pick up with this next time. He says that's why we say Osuk Mitzvah Potam and a Mitzvah. It's a very fascinating Rambam, and that's why we say Mitzvah Shabali Yadcha Al Tach Mitzena, right? In Mavir and Ala Mitzvos, because you never know this Schar when it comes. So the Rambam here is Mechalik between Mitzvah Sasei Mitzvah Lo Sasei in the Mishnah. One could have read that he was saying in Lo Sasei's in Lavin there's a hierarchy. It's reflected by Onshin. In mitzvos, not only don't we know, we don't know, and we're not told because there isn't any. All mitzvos are equal opportunity opportunities. Okay. But that's not what the Rambam says. I would have been happier if he'd said that, but he doesn't say that. He basically says that in mitzvos also there's a hierarchy, but the Ribbono Shel Olam intentionally camouflaged it. Why? So that we'll discuss. Okay. But the point is that one could have said that even when it comes to Laban, even if the Onshim do reflect, they reflect one dimension. But especially in light of the Rambam himself, one could have said, it's not an absolute, this is more Chomer, this is more Kal. It depends. If you're talking about Le'inyan, you know, this value, that value, third value, and I think that really is the view of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Not that the Onshim are arbitrary, Chas v'Shalom, but that there are many reasons for Onshim, number one, the ones that we discussed, and number two, that perhaps Chomer and Kal is a lot more complicated than we might initially think. So what I want to do next week is pick up with Shitas HaRambam. Of course, this is a big issue. The Rambam talks about the hierarchy of Laban and the hierarchy of Essen, and why they're different. We want to speak about that. But even in light of the discussion of Yehuda Chassid and Reb Sajigon and Rambam, what about Essen and Laban themselves? Right? Again, based on the theory that Onshim Arkoveya, you would certainly come to the conclusion that Alav is more chashuv than an asay, because the onish is certainly more severe, and the level of commitment required is more intense, right? There's a price tag on a mitzvah asay, no price tag on a lav, and so on and so forth. But is that necessarily true? After all, we also say asay docha Lo Sasei. We should speak about that a little bit. In Sefer Etzer Psadjigon, he does bring up that issue. He says, a proof against Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is the fact that the Gemara Nivamos and elsewhere, Gemara Nivamos and Shabbos, talks about whether Asei Docha Lo Sasei applies to Aseis, the Lo Sasei, Sheish Bakares, Sheim Bakares. That shows that that the Onesh matters. That would be a raya against Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. But he says, at the same time, what about the fact that Aseh Dokhalos Aseh itself? Wouldn't that seem to be a raya for Rabbi Yehuda Chassid? Because is anybody going to say that the Aseh is more chashuv, more chamur than the lav, and yet it's dochet? So just like he was bringing a raya from Pikuach Nefesh, doesn't this prove the point? So I want to speak about that idea and just be just examine Shita Sarambam here and Rabbeinu Yonah next week, and we'll hopefully finish this up next week.